B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
8-5, the Sports Hub.
Bumped against the wall by Farabee, and the horn is going to sound. How about the performance by Jeremy Swayman tonight? His first NHL win. He stopped 40 of 42. Brad Marchand, the third period shorthanded game winner. And Patrice Bergeron ices it with the hat trick. Bruins come up victorious 4-2 in Philadelphia.
All right, hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Wednesday, April 7th. I think I've lost track.
I think that's right, yeah.
From our Town Fair Tire Studios here. Thought we'd start off talking some hockey. How do you feel about that?
By all means.
How do you feel about the Bruins last night? How do you feel about the rookie netminder?
How could you not love it? I mean, I thought the kid was fun to watch. And that's, you know, I'll even include Vladar from the previous game. They're just so different in goal than Tuukka is. Like, it's so striking when you watch it. The way, you know, because, and I don't, you know, look, Tuukka is a fundamentally rock solid sound goalie, but he can be kind of boring to watch because all he really does is get in the right spot and let the puck hit him. And again, not that there's anything wrong with that. He's really good at it. These guys are more athletic, more battler. Even Vladar, as much of a whale as he is, and I don't mean that he's fat, I just mean he's gigantic. But Swayman is kind of bouncing around in there. Like, it was fun to watch. And I don't know how you don't look at the two of them and say, boy, that's pretty impressive. They get dropped into the middle of this thing from the beginning of the year because of COVID and everything else and Tuukka's back injury. And Vladar gets in there after the disaster that was the bubble. I mean, he was awful in that bubble. Awful. And so he's clearly improved. He's stabilized. And the other kid, first game ever in the league and comes out and plays like that, especially in the second period. That was awesome.
So that's supposed to be the guy. That's supposed to be the guy. Swayman's supposed to be the guy. Vladar has been nice. You got to like what you see from him. But he does not project, is not considered, again, just according to Fluto Shinzawa, in NHL circles to be a high-end goaltending prospect. Mm-hmm. He's projected more as an NHL kind of backup. So, I mean, who knows? Like, this is the thing about that position. You just don't know, Maz. You just don't know.
Of course.
So often it just comes out of the woodwork. So Vladar could be the guy, but he's not thought to be. The guy last night's supposed to be the guy. That's supposed to be the guy. And I don't know how you don't get excited about that. It wasn't like, I think I was in the building for Rask's first game. He got a start in, I don't want to say 2009 or something early on. And I think he actually had a shutout in his first game, I think, against the Rangers. But I feel like he had 17 shots on net.
Yeah.
I don't remember a single save. And, you know, you have debuts like that. The kid made 40 saves last night.
Yeah.
I mean, he made saves.
Yeah.
He affected the game. And if that doesn't get you excited, man, as a Bruins fan, I don't know what does.
It did for me. I mean, there's been a lot of buzz around this kid, especially if you've talked to anyone that, you know, follows UMaine or went there. Like, yes, Swayman's the answer.
Oh, my God. They'll talk your face off about the guy, right?
But he looks like he belongs. I mean, there's times he looked like low or small, but considering no McAvoy, that the defense has been a liability as a whole here for the better part of a month, I thought it was great. What a great story. And I was texting fans of, you know, my buddy's a Canadiens fan. I'm like, remember the name, Jeremy Swayman. But I'm just like, I'm done with Rask and have been for years, but especially after last year in the bubble and that whole thing. Like, I left that feeling like, all right, we're good. Like, if someone has interest, trade his ass. Like, get him out of here. I'm just done. I don't want to think about Rask. I don't want to talk about Rask. Maybe this kid's the answer. Maybe he's not. But if at the very least, it looks like they might have something
there. Yeah, it was fun to watch. It was fun to watch.
So listen, for the purposes of the Felger bubble and the Felger and Maz show, they once again walked themselves back from getting another commercial. If they had lost last night, I write them off and that's over.
They keep walking the take plank.
They are walking the take plank. That is excellent, Murray. And so, you know, and they got the Capitals next, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So that's not a make or break game for me. I mean, I would love to see them win, but if you lose, I'm not going to hold that one against you. Just because the Caps are better than you right now, and you probably should lose that game. But
it's when they're losing to the Devils and teams like that. Like, you know.
But you know, I'll tell you what, just because you won, it's just a paper thing. You still weren't the better team last night. If you watched any of that game, if you watched that second period, you got absolutely smoked by a bad hockey team. And so I think you're closer to the Flyers right now than you are to the top of the league. I don't love your chances, but that doesn't mean I write you off. You see, Murray, I was thinking about this on the way in. when it comes to this stuff, I always defer to leaving the door ajar. You know, Murray, for me, there's always a path until there isn't.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I've lived it.
So, right. That wasn't just a Patriots thing. Most teams, it's just more fun to look at it that way. If you got a chance, you got a chance. I'm not going to write you off until I know. Until I know. And if they have a bad week and lose some of these games, I'll know. Like, there's just, you got to draw the line somewhere. And that's where I've drawn it. Like, I know the Celtics. I will write them off. They don't got it. There's something wrong. We'll get to them later. I know. I will write them off. There is no path. Not because I can assess that team and then the competition around them. The Bruins, I can still build a little bit of a path. I'm not telling you it's wide.
Well, sport, too, right? Like,
bingo.
You know, the goalie gets hot. Maybe it's one of these kids. And they get in there and you beat everybody.
And you do. You have a handful to a half dozen players who are elite players who've been there, have won at that level or close to that level. And if the first line producers, your goaltending gets hot, you get a break or two, you can go on a run, and then who knows? Like, I can still piece that together for a slim shot for the Bruins. Slim. But I'm going to leave that door ajar. And now, you know, the fascinating backdrop to me is the trade deadline. You know, do you invest in this team or do you just, you know, let it roll? Just let it ride. Whatever you got is what you got. They're not as much of a threat where you actually spend to add, but you don't sell either. You know, we're not going to get rid of Krejci because he could help us go on a run. We're not getting a good offer for him, so might as well. See what you got, go on the run, lose them for nothing because I don't want your second-round pick anyway. You know what I'm saying? And I wonder if that's it. Apparently, you know, according to reports, Maz, I know you mentioned this to me yesterday. I didn't get to it. You know, the Bruins are supposed to be in on a lot of things, and including goaltending. This is from, I can't remember what this is from, the Great North or something? I don't know. This is some NHL rumor site up in Canada, I guess, because they call it up north. What's it called?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I can't tell you either.
It's a one-source show.
It's like hockeynorth.com or something.
We have a very low bar when it comes to sourcing, so this is just good enough for me. It felt legit, so what the hell? Someone wrote it somewhere.
If it has 10 hits, we're in.
Right.
Kyle Palmieri, the winger there in Jersey, has been scratched from the Devils' last couple games. He is moving, and several teams are interested, they write, including the Boston Bruins, Islanders, and Toronto, and trade talks have picked up since Sunday's decision to sit Kyle Palmieri. The Bruins could be the club, they write, as they have interest in both Palmieri and Devils defenseman Dmitry Kulikov. So you kill two birds in one stone. They need help on the right side. They need help on the left side on D. Kulikov would be a rental, though. He's set to become, well, they're both rentals, I guess.
They're both rentals.
Both set to become unrestricted free agents this summer. They write that Boston is all in from what we've been hearing. And again, forget who we are. Like, just assume they're legit. The Bruins want a mid-six winger and a blue liner by the deadline and could kill two birds with one stone if they can agree to a deal with the Devils. There's also been some talk the Bruins or another interested club would want to explore an extension with Palmieri before committing. So that would impact the price. If you get Palmieri and term, then the price goes up, obviously. So then, this was the interesting part to me. They say, don't be surprised if goalie Elvis Merzlikins, I have a hard time with that last name. He's a goalie in Columbus. Don't be surprised if the Columbus goalie is moved. Interest in
just call him Elvis.
In Elvis dates back to last offseason, and as there has been rising chatter in Columbus lately over potential departure. Elvis, who turns 27 in April, has 1 year left on his contract after the season, comes with a $4 million cap hit, da-da-da-da-da. Teams like Chicago, Boston, and Buffalo have poked around. And no, Boston wasn't a typo, they write. There is some talk out of the Bruins organization that Tuukka Rask is playing in his final NHL season, and that could result in a move. Darcy Kemper, who's a goalie in Arizona, is also on Boston's radar. So they're sniffing around goaltending for the long term because Rask is retiring, or because maybe they're looking to accelerate Rask's departure, or they can't rely on him to show up, which, you know, obviously is a fact. Who could rely on that guy? And so that's just sort of interesting that the goaltending is in the mix of their trade deadline conversations.
Absolutely. Look, and again, I mean, there's always been these whispers out there about Tuukka in retirement and his unwillingness or, you know, has no desire to play in any other market. Maybe this back thing, and I'm trying to look at it now from Tuukka's perspective, maybe this back thing pushed him over the edge.
Maybe it's bad.
Well, he's hinted at retirement before.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's been there, but you know, so now it's being pushed over the edge. Maybe it's the back.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Maybe he's had one foot out the door here for a while, and he doesn't quite put the work in the offseason, and he's not as flexible and in shape as he should be. So he
could
gets
be
a,
that too.
He gets a bad back, and he can't recover from it because he's half checked out anyway. That's what I think.
Yeah, look, again, I don't doubt that for a second. And I also think that maybe the Bruins are saying we don't quite think those two kids are ready yet, as well as they've played. Otherwise, why would you be looking for a guy in the market?
Yeah, and that's or as a, you know, as a backup. So is to bring this all full circle, it's easy to say Murray, and a part of me wants to say it too. I just go with the kids down the stretch. Let's see what we got. Let's see if one of them gets hot. We get a Pete Peters situation, a Jordan Binnington situation, something like this. Let's just see if we get this guy. But then again, Swayman's legit. That's a legit guy and a legit prospect. Don't ruin him. Don't ruin him.
Take your time with him is what you're saying.
You know, take your time or what? You know, whatever that means is whatever that means. Don't ruin him. Like, for example, I think the Flyers have already ruined this.
Carter Hart.
The Flyers have ruined another goalie. Ruined him. And they had a good young kid who could play. And they've already ruined him. And it's like, if you've got the next guy, be careful with the next, whatever that means. So I don't know what that means. If you're confident in playing him and you want to put him in there and, you know, go on a run and he can handle it, then he can handle it. But if he's someone you feel you need to be slow with, then be slow. Just think, you know, be careful if this is really the next guy. I want him to be the next guy. I love the way he looks in net.
Yeah, he's fun to watch.
I mean, he's just big. I know you said he got small a couple of times. He got low.
Yeah.
But, you know, just
6'2".
I mean, and Vladar is 6'5". And you know, I feel Swayman plays as big as Vladar. I do.
So I'll tell you, I felt like Murray felt when I don't know if it's because of after, you know, Rask looks big in the net too. So maybe it's just because of Rask and Vladar. They put Swayman in there and went, ooh, he's little.
He looks wee. Maybe that's what it is.
He's not. Well, that's why I looked it up last night. He was 6'2", and I went, wow, he's bigger than I thought. So maybe it is that he's sort of scrunched up in there, or they just, he's following two guys that look, because Vladar is huge. He is gigantic.
Yeah, him on skates, it's like 7 feet tall.
I mean, seriously, he's absolutely ginormous in there. So, but I just like watching him bounce around in there. Like, it is, he's fun to watch, man. It was fun.
Yay. There is word, again, talking to these, you know, according to these Canucks there. And I'm just going to say that because it's called upnorth.com or something. I'll go look it up.
I just found it. Thefourthperiod.com.
Thefourthperiod.com. What was this up north thing I was coming up with?
I don't know. It's all right. I can go with it.
Where did I come up with that? All right. Whatever.
Yeah, the fourth period.
Thefourthperiod.com. Boston is looking at goaltending here at the trade deadline, looking at acquiring goaltending. And no, that wasn't a typo. There's talk. There's some talk out of the Bruins organization that Tuukka Rask is playing in his final NHL season. And that could result in a move at some point. So it's like, it's his final NHL. So he's just decided to shut it down early. He couldn't quite make it through his last season. Yeah, that's all right. I'm a back sore. That's it. I'm done anyway. Collect your $7 million and that's your year. Like, I don't know if you could tell. I'm sorry. Down on Rask.
I didn't pick up on that.
You know, it's like, geez, Louise. Come on, guy. All right, we're going to start off talking Bruins. Your thoughts right after this.
Boston's home for sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Swings it over to the near side. Right point now, Grizzly pulls it off the wall. He lost it. Now he's in a foot race. Lawton speeds into the slot. Short-handed backhand. Swayman the save. In transition now, the Bruins. 4-on-2 over the line. Marchand high slot. Right circle, Pasternak. Swings to the slot. Fired. They score! Second of the game, Bergeron from the slot, a snipe through Carter Hart, 2-0 Bruins.
The key sequence there.
Yeah, tremendous.
You're up 1-0 on the power play, you give up a breakaway, Swayman stops it, you come right back down and score. And that, you know, started with the save. And so it's exciting to, you know, think and just sort of hope you got the next guy. And that's a big boon for the team, too, if he is. And you can, you know, get that position in the short term, at least, some affordable dollars. I mean, that is a hard cap sport. It does matter what you pay one guy versus the next, unlike the NFL. And so, you know, if you don't have to pay your goalie in the top five of the league, that does help you. And all of it. And it frees you up from this Rask thing, like enough. Hopefully that gives you the freedom to say bye-bye. And I wonder if, you know, one for the freaking back, could they have done it now? They do it this week. So anyway, we're starting with some Bruins talk. What do you think? Brian in Fitchburg, lead us off.
Mike, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, listen, Kyle Palmieri has only scored 30 goals once in his career. And same thing with Taylor Hall. If Don Sweeney gives up a first-round pick and a player like Jake DeBrus for those two guys, he ought to be fired immediately. I mean, if you're really looking to start giving away high picks and players like DeBrus or Vakanainen, go get Goudreau. I mean, and then take a fifth or a sixth or something like that. Go get the lower guys who've been in the playoffs. Go to Arizona. Go get Nick Harmason. But do not give away good prospects and good picks to pick up soft players like Palmieri and Hall.
Okay. I don't want them giving up first-round picks either. Like, I don't know if this team is worth giving up first-round picks over. You lost your first-round pick last year just to get rid of Backus. Now you're going to give up another first-round pick. But DeBrusk, yep. DeBrusk, I would.
Yeah, I don't know all of a sudden why DeBrusk is untouchable. Like, the way the callers talk, don't give up DeBrusk. Why not?
And Kyle Palmieri has scored 30 only once in his career, but here are his last, going into this year.
And how many of those come against you?
Oh, but hold on.
He's pretty consistent.
Here are his goal totals the last 5 years going into this season. 30, 26, 24, 27, 25.
Yep.
He's your second or third best goal scorer second he walks in the door. So let's not, you know, 30 goals don't grow on trees anymore in that league, and they certainly don't grow on trees here.
I mean, the part of it that surprises
me. DeBrusk for Palmieri? Today.
Oh,
yesterday.
I do it in a second.
Yesterday.
The only part that surprises me is that he's a free agent, as is the defenseman Kulikov, right?
Yep.
Like that. So that surprises me because typically they go after guys with term. And so I wonder if they do that because the cost is a little cheaper or it's because of the expansion draft or what. I don't know.
Colby in the car. Go ahead, Colby.
Hey, guys, so I thought that the second goal that Sweeney gave up was kind of soft. It looked like he was set up to get it, and he just went through him. I was wondering if you could talk me off the ledge on that one.
The second goal? You mean where the Flyers had you pinned in? Like, it was freaking the siege at Normandy. And they're, like, buzzing all over you, getting to every single puck, and the guy steps in front of Frederick and comes in and roofs it? Is that the one you're talking about? The second one? The first one was a goal mouth tip, and the second one was roofed after they had possession on you for like a minute or something. They were all over you. The dude stopped 40 of 42. It's not like he had 17 saves.
In his first game.
And like, you know, he had like two or three high danger chances that he turned away. Like a dozen legit high-end saves.
I mean, so look, I don't know if this is what the caller was getting at. I would say that, yeah, at times he looks a little sped up. That's fair. And maybe to the point where he gets a little out of position or, yes, he's a kid. It's his first game. He kept the puck out of the net, didn't he? Like, that's sort of where I settled on. I thought he was, to me, there's athleticism there. Like, oh, it's so different than with Tuukka. So different.
Tim in Charlestown. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Mike, if you think of all the money they'll save on toilet paper when they get rid of Tuukka. As my grandnephew would say, Tuukka poo-poo cockers his pants in big games.
That's it. That and depends and all that. Yep. I mean, don't just have to, you know, wait around every year. I mean, just to, if nothing else, to flip the storyline. We're not just sitting here waiting around every year for Rask not to show up in one way, shape, or form. That one's a little old. You know, I said it last year, and I guess I got what I asked for. But I'd rather lose with Halak than just wait for Rask to let me down again. And I got it. You know, I experienced it because Halak sure sucked against Tampa. But, you know, I don't think you lost to Tampa because of goaltending. You lost because they're just a much better team than you. It's a sidebar. The goaltending thing is sort of a sidebar. And again, the reports of the Bruins looking at goaltending, it's not just the greatwhitenorth.com or fourthperiod.com or whatever the hell we were citing from Bob McKenzie a month ago on the NBC broadcast when bringing up the Bruins and the trade deadline, brought up Rask. It's sort of like, what's the linkage here? I don't get it. And so there's been a little linkage there for a while. Let's do the Tommy and Ryan show here right off the shoot. Here's Tom and Lynn. Go ahead, Tommy.
What's up, boys? How did you, Felgo? I like Swayman. He should be the goalie again this week because the way he played was good, and I want him to be that guy.
Okay,
babe. The goalie's the way to go.
Got to be careful, though, Tommy. He's just a kid. You don't want to ruin him. The Tommy and Ryan show continues with Ryan and Bill Ricca. Hi, Ryan.
Yeah, what's going on, boys? Listen, the Bruins need to get rid of some of these guys who suck, all right? I'm so sick of, you know, DeBrusk and Bjork and Stanika, Senishin. They need to get rid of them. But who the hell wants to take them? you're gonna have to trade picks with them. And, like, this team needs a lot of horses just to even be a contender. They're not even close.
Well, I'll tell you what,
the
Ryan.
The line's a little better now that, you know, Pasternak's on that line, but your third and fourth line, they freaking blow.
Okay, Ryan, so. I agree. They do. It's the Tommy and Ryan show. That's what I'm doing. If usually the rental prices are a first-round pick. Can you get someone to bite on Stanika or Bjork instead? And, you know, take one of those young players, which is another way of saying a draft pick, because they're recently drafted young players with, you don't know exactly what they are. They're futures, and they're cheap. And so can you get away with that? I mean, I'd rather do that than a first-round pick this year. You can't keep going in the draft without a first-round pick.
I'm just stunned that none of these guys can have an impact. Like, it blows me away. What happened with Stanika?
I don't know.
He was getting all kinds of hype, and he was getting all kinds of pump when he was down there. Like, here he comes. This kid's a center. Here's Stanika. Nothing.
Good size, good range.
Nothing.
I sort of liked him, but nothing. Zero. They don't leak a drop. These guys don't leak a drop. They're just not a threat. That's how I say it. They're never a threat. And I don't know. Do you bail early? Do you wait for them to grow up? Or, you know, but to me, it just goes back to this. I'm not keen on giving away a first-round pick.
But, Mike, even if they grow up, what's the ceiling?
Yeah, right. No. Fair enough.
Like, what are you talking, third-liners?
Fair enough. I mean, but, you know, I once said the same thing about Blake Wheeler. They traded Blake Wheeler for the Rich Peverly trade.
Yeah, it was Peverly, yeah.
And Wheeler turned into an all-star, a real legit, you know, scoring forward. And I never saw that coming. When he was here, I said the same thing. This guy blows soft, never leaks a drop, never a threat. Get rid of him. And the next thing you know, he just took a while. So, you know, but I don't think it's that hard of a call. I'm not giving up draft picks. Brian, or high draft picks. Bobby and Drake, go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if you guys caught the post game last night, but Cassidy was asked about Swayman, and he just kind of like gave a quick little answer and then jumped right on questioning his players' effort again and skill level. And I think you guys are starting to hit on it. Like, what is like Stadnika's ceiling? I think there's a little bit of a tune-out factor with the secondary players with the coach.
Well, I'll tell you what. If those players are tuning out the coach, I'm with the coach.
So am I.
F you. Who are you?
Right.
You kid. You suck. Go back to Providence. You know, if the veterans, if the guys that have been here and have done something have tuned out Cassidy, then that's a story. Like, that's, you know, if Patrice Bergeron tunes out the coach, I'm willing to side with Patrice Bergeron on that. Like, he gets it. He you know, I trust that guy. But if Jake Stanika and Jake DeBrusk and screw you. Go back to Providence. What have you done?
I mean, exactly. Look, and DeBrusk probably did tune him out because he was playing like he didn't care. I mean, he was coasting there for the early part of the year. He sucked so bad in the early part of the year. He looked like a guy that was just going through the motions.
Okay, we're starting Bruins, but we're going to still mix in some football stuff and got Red Sox stuff later. Still got the Celtics on the radar. So we'll get to all of this right after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is. Just slinging poo at each other.
Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let me ask you, do you have faith, do you trust Bill Belichick to get the quarterback thing right? Just specifically the quarterback thing.
No, I don't. I trust Bill Belichick to get a quarterback in town who will win 10 or 11 games. I trust Josh McDaniels to find a quarterback and pull the right levers and press the right buttons to extract some wins that he wouldn't otherwise have done, because he just did it. But look, I don't know if he, and Michael, I think you share this belief, he just did it for 20 years with a sixth round pick. When the sixth round pick got hurt, he put a seventh round pick in and won 11 games. He created a Super Bowl starter in Jimmy Garoppolo, really, who did most of his development here, who came out of FCS. He, you know, on and on and on, all the first round and number one pick quarterback pelts that he has on his belt. He's not going to say, I have to go and get this, you know, decorated quarterback that everybody loves. He's going to try and do it in a different way. And that's okay, because he is that good a coach.
Well, I don't know if it's okay, but that was Tommy Curran last night on Boston Sports Tonight. Myself, Mike Holly, give it a watch. Or 10 o'clock every night, last night and tonight will be on after Celtics postgame there on NBC Sports Boston. But there's another guy who is worried about Bill Belichick at the quarterback position, given his history, how he's succeeded in the past or how he's built teams in the past. And Tom Curran thinks they'll win, but not convinced that Bill will be aggressive at that position and prioritize that position.
Yeah, look, he raises a good point, though, Curran does, that, you know, Belichick has had success doing it his way, so why would he change? And, like, I never thought of it in those terms, but at the end of the day, the way I look at it, he almost has a predisposition to not go get talent at the position. You follow me?
No, he hates quarterbacks.
Yeah, like, he really does, you know, sort of look at it that way, though, like, well, you don't need a quarterback. And it's great if he's the coach. What happens when he's not? And how long is he going to be here? So, like, it
you
almost...
You think he's thinking about that?
No, but this is why the organization has to step in, Murray. Because it serves them to have a longer-term answer with a talented kid at the position. They can't just say, well, Bill, we have you, because they're not going to have him in 5 years. Like, this is sort of what if Tom is angling toward, they need to step in. They need to let Josh pick the quarterback. This is where Kraft is overruling Bill, and this is the power that Bill has lost. I'm not sure that that's wrong.
Well, so I'm not sure that's what Tom was going. I mean, we can go there for sure. Because, again, as we discussed most of yesterday, it feels like Bill has, you know, lost a little something there personnel-wise in the building. He's being forced to collaborate and maybe forced to defer, or, you know, maybe some other people are going to have more of a say in some of these decisions. So I think it's on the table. I mean, but that wasn't the point of Curran there. Curran's just said, you know, left up to Bill, he's going to do what he's always done. And, you know, wait for the thing to fall to him.
Sure.
And coach it up, which is scary. So, yeah, to me, Maz, the one that's not really going to, I'm fascinated to see is this scenario. Is if Justin Fields drops to him, okay? Like, I don't think they're going to trade up. I don't think they're giving up future assets for a project quarterback. I don't see them doing that. I don't think it's smart to do it necessarily. Okay, so, you know, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Like, it's a close call. Certainly, KC trading up for Mahomes, that worked. But there's a lot of trade-ups that just don't. And I'm sure Bill doesn't want to do that. I don't see him doing it. But what if you're sitting there at 15, and here is Justin Fields. He drops all the way to 15. This is a guy who's been the second-rated quarterback in college football for, you know, even before he got to college football. It was him and Trevor Lawrence this whole time. 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, all the way through.
It's really only changed in the last few months.
And now you get to, you know, the spring of the draft year, as Murray's saying, and you get to draft night, and all of a sudden you're sitting at 15, and there's Justin Fields, and you have no quarterback. Can you possibly pass on that? What's he do? And that just fascinates me. I know he doesn't want to take him.
He won't take him.
I know he doesn't want to take him. But the franchise needs a quarterback. And is that the point where an owner steps in, or is that a point where, and I'm getting dramatic on that, but it's like, even Bill, you know, I don't really want to take this kid. I like this linebacker from Penn State. It's the best front seven guy in the whole draft, and he's sitting right here at 15. But I got to take the quarterback. Everyone says the owner wants a quarterback. The team needs a quarterback. He's dropped. You know, Fields at 15 is value. Like, they can talk themselves into that. This is a depressed asset. This is a guy who's the second best quarterback in the draft, has been for 4 or 5 years, and he just drops because of groupthink. And now all of a sudden, here's the second best player at 15. There's value. They can talk themselves into being smarter than everybody else, buying low, selling high, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, what does he do?
Oh, Mike, if that were to happen, too, the thing that would make it extra infuriating is that Cam Newton has actually talked this kid up since he's been in high school, called him the best recruit in the country, and they have a rapport. So if he were to drop, you still have Cam Newton, who you paid to bring back for some reason. So ostensibly, he could mentor this kid if you draft him. If they passed, oh, God.
Bill won't do it. And you know Bill won't
do it. Oh, no, of course. Yeah, no, it wouldn't. If he drops, they're not taking him.
Bill's heart of hearts. He would love to pass.
Yeah.
And have everyone go, what are you doing? Said, and you know, come home with a good defensive player. Oh, I know in his heart he'd love to do that. But isn't there another part of it that says, oh man, we need a quarterback and this guy's right in my lap. I don't even have to trade up. Here he is.
Yeah, if he felt like normal people feel about quarterbacks.
Yeah, see, I say no. Because I think Bill's so freaking stubborn about it. And deep down, I think you feel that way too, but you love the sort of the mystery of it.
Oh, yeah.
So my question to you would be, let's say it gets to that. Because again, if Fields gets to 10, he'll get to 15.
Yep.
Those next five teams aren't going to take quarterbacks, I don't think. Minnesota's the one I don't really know about, but Kirk Cousins is 32. Like, he's got time left. They got plenty of time to figure that one out. So he could get to 15. Do you want Kraft to step on Bill if that happens? Do you want him to jump in and say, no, Bill, you're not picking him. We're taking the quarterback.
So if I'm talking about the show, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. I mean, I think the owner's got to have a say. I think the owner, if he's doing what I think he's doing behind the scenes and sort of restructuring the personnel and resetting how they pick players and, you know, getting Bill to be more collaborative, like, that's good. The owner should step in there and affect change there if it hasn't been good. Should he sit there in the draft room and go, no, we're taking the quarterback? Well, now you're Dan Snyder and Jerry Jones, and you're the worst of the worst. So I don't.
So, look, I don't love Fields, okay? So that one's hard for me because I can't block that part of it out.
But it's not the owner, you see? So it's like, I mean, if you really want to set it up, what happens is the director of college scouting says, nope, this is the guy. And the director of college scouting says to the owner, Robert, this is the guy.
So Dave Ziegler.
Yeah, right. You know, so there's a head scout or there's a, you know, one of the big personnel guys, you know, really believes in the guy. Bill doesn't. And now you're in the draft room. And what do you do? It's like, oh, I'm so like that to me. Fields dropping. Can they afford to pass if he drops? You know, not trading up is like, I don't think anyone really gets on him for that. It's expensive to trade up for a quarterback. And like everyone gets that. But if he just falls into your lap and you're so desperate at the position and you pass,
I'd be shocked if they do it.
Ooh, that sets up a talker, you know, which is just, you know. So anyway, that's my thought on that. There's your football minute. Back to your phones on everything right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Please, Mass.
What the?
Felger and Mass.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
We always ask, she's here getting some treatments, just hasn't responded as well as anybody likes. So sometimes when you're given a definitive, hey, this guy is out for X amount of time, or he had surgery, or this or that, then it's a little easier to put behind you. But when it's kind of a day-to-day thing where the player's here, getting treatment, then you ask a little more. So am I, you know, biting my fingernails off over it? No. I guess to answer your question, really, you know, Tuca is your number one, and you do wonder what, you know, when can we expect them, and you just don't get an answer for that. So so that's what you're up against.
Yeah, that's Cassidy on Tuca Rask last week. Yeah, I'm not biting my fingernails over this. I don't know what the injury is. It's one thing to know what the injury is, and he's 2 to 4 weeks or 4 to 6 weeks. He says he's working at it. He's here getting treatment, but no one knows. I don't know. So there we are with Rask. Meanwhile, the kids have been great. And meanwhile, reports are the Bruins are looking at goaltending at the trade deadline. So piece that all together if you want. Back to your phones here. Matt in New Bedford. Go ahead, Matt.
So I got three things from the game last night. Number one, Felger, you touched on it yesterday when I called. Nick Ritchie making the absolute lazy play he can. It was in the second period. He was behind the net. And instead of waiting for a guy to come on him to try to do something, he just fired it back right back up to the point. Swayman was great, but he got beat a couple of times glove side. So that's something to look out for. But I'll keep my hopes up because he's young and he was fantastic. Finally, we need to file a missing person report on Trent Frederick. My God, where is he?
Again, all right, have a good day, guys. Yeah, except for the bad penalty he took late in the game.
Yeah, right.
I think it was the third period. I think that was the power play that Marchand scored the shorty on.
Lozon made a nice play on that.
So, but, you know, Frederick, you know, you're going to not score. You're going to do nothing. Don't take the penalty. See, he was pretty good about that earlier in the year. But he's disappeared. Richie, watch him. Lazy offensive player. And I'm not talking about his foot speed or, you know, how he moves. I'm talking about pucks on his stick. Do something with it. But he doesn't. It's like hot potato. I don't want to hold this thing. And he just, whichever way the puck is going, he just helps it on its way. It's all he does. The puck is being swept back to the point. He'll help sweep it back to the point. The puck is being swept into the corner. He'll sweep it into the corner. He'll never stop, look up, and make a play. He's just shoveling the puck one place to the next. He's the laziest offensive player I've ever seen.
He's one of those guys that moves at the half the speed that the rest of the world does.
Just go to the front of the net and let it bounce off your ass. That's what you're good at. You know, go wrestle with the defenseman, screen the goalie, let the puck go off you, and that's it. And you know what? I'm not even the Bruins need that because they have guys who won't do that.
That guy would be a force if someone could get him pissed off.
Adam and Lowell on the quarterback situation. Hi, Adam.
Hey, guys. I'm really sick of the Belichick and Cam Bobo saying, like, yeah, see, $250 million. We brought in weapons. He's going to be better. It's like, okay, so you clearly just didn't watch the games. He can't throw the ball. So I don't think Kraft will force him to take a quarterback of 15 either. I think he already made his move this year by basically telling the beat it. Yeah, we've sucked at the draft, and I already talked to Bill. But next year, when we miss the playoffs again, because Cam's going to be the quarterback, and Bill goes, hey, so I'm bringing Cam back. I'm hoping Kraft's like, no, you're not. Absolutely not. And if he goes, well, I'm gone then. It's like, good. Tell your kids to pack their crap too. Thanks, guys.
Well, let's see. You know, I don't know. I feel like Kraft is on the same page as Belichick is, you know, with the quarterback. The draft may have, you know, Kraft may have gotten in there on the draft. I don't know if he's gotten in there on the quarterback. He was pretty supportive of Newton and Stidham on that conference call last week. But I just don't get the people who miss the quarterback and the Cam Newton thing. It's like, will Cam Newton be better next year? Yeah, he'll probably be better next year. That's all you want is to be for him to be better?
The ceiling is clear.
Right. So to me, that's a question is what? How could he not be better?
And then, you know, subsequently, it's like, well, Teddy Bridgewater doesn't make you a Super Bowl team or Marcus Mariota doesn't make you a Super Bowl team. So why would you want him? Like, well, if that's a standard, why do anything?
Right.
Like, no. You be as good as you can be. That's it. You be as good as you can be. So will Newton be better than last year with a better cast around him? Yep. But can you be better with another quarterback? Of course you can. That's the standard, not Newton being better against himself. Be as good as you can be. Go as far as you can go. If Teddy Bridgewater's worth only one more win in the regular season or one more playoff win, I'll take it and start there and then see what happens in that next round. That's how you do it. So you don't make any move unless it makes you a Super Bowl team. That's kind of stupid, don't you think?
Well, yes, because right again, if that is the standard, then you're never going to make any move. Like if it's all about, well, that's the piece, you know, how many deals ultimately or moves put you over the top? So I'm surprised Kraft's not more involved in the quarterback thing, but maybe, you know, and I'm just saying speculating, but maybe this, you know, maybe because if he does, Bill says, well, I had him and you made me trade him the first time.
Well, let's see how it plays out. Ryan in Providence on the Bruins. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey guys. Thanks for having me on. Mike, do you think we finally have our Ken Dryden with the Swayman? Also,
no.
I wanted to talk about Jake DeBrusque and just how awful he is. He forechecks how old people bang super slow. Just awful. And I was wondering, could we get anything for him? And
yeah, so I'm going to stop you right there before you run out of material there, Ryan. I have effing Ken Dryden. Who knows? But you have, this is, you know, you think about it. It's sort of like the Patriots quarterback thing. The Bruins have had goaltending for 15 going on 20 years. I mean,
long time.
I mean, really, from Thomas to Rask. And they've, you know, frustrated us, and I'm not telling you they're perfect, and certainly Rask has not completed the deal. And he hasn't fulfilled what his legacy should be as a Stanley Cup champion. So I'm not telling you it's perfect, but I'm telling you, for going on two decades now, you've had a guy. You've had good goaltending. Statistically, you've had top-of-the-league goaltending. And, you know, God forbid you ever figure out or see what that's like without it. You know, go back to the days of, you know, Byron Defoe was okay, but, you know.
Oh, who about the guy with the Technicolor five hole?
Yeah, so Blaine Locker. Who was the guy they traded for? Ace Carey? Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah, Jim Carrey.
Yeah, right? I mean, they gave up something for him. So you had a lull there between the Lemelin and Moog era until you got to Tim Thomas, where it was sort of
bad.
Oof. You know, and that's a bad place to be. You don't want to be the Flyers. So I don't know if you go right from Rask to Swayman or there's some sort of transition, but that's what I said earlier. I love the look of Swayman. I love the thought of you have the next guy. Be careful with that. Like, don't ruin him. Don't do to him what the Flyers have done to Connor Hart. Be careful with that, if that is the guy. But
John Casey, that was
John
his name.
Casey, John Casey.
Yeah, he sucked.
Oh, my God.
Jeez, was he awful.
Tommy in Dorchester. Go ahead, Tommy.
Hey, Mike, real quick, three things.
It was also Jim Carrey, though, I think. I'm sorry. Hold on. Why? I don't mean
to. No, you got it right. He was another one. He played a Catholic memorial or something, didn't he?
John Casey and Jim Carrey. They had both of those.
Oh, they had one long succession of suck bad goalies.
I'm sorry, Tommy. Go ahead.
That's okay, Mike. Mike, great show with you and Holly. Like it a lot. Good show. Keep it up.
Thanks.
Second thing, I don't know if I read also about Foligno and possibly David Savard out of Columbus. That's a good deal. And you guys, relax. The quarterback situation is going to be fine.
Okay, I'm not going to relax about that. Why should I relax about that? It's the single most important decision and thing facing this team. And they put it on the back burner. Why shouldn't I be agitated about that? There's nothing more important than the next quarterback, and they're treating it like just another position.
Yeah, and not just for the Patriots, for the whole city.
I mean, the whole thing that this rests on is that. And it's just
how
like,
can anyone feel just, it'll be fine after what happened last year. And with Garoppolo out there and them seemingly hesitant to go get him.
There's got to be a plan in place that we don't know about. When I say that, because again, Kraft's comments, and I know you cited this a minute ago, the idea that Kraft would say, well, Cam, there's something coming. They're going to draft a guy. There's no way they're going this whole draft without taking someone. So Kraft has to know that they're addressing it, and he's probably on board with what the plan is, but there's a plan.
Okay, let's get to the Celtics. Let's put that on the board. Coming up right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials. What do you do with that team? Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.